So the subject of Sufism, alaykum salam, has a great deal of relation with the subject of Bid'ah, because the systematic way of Sufism is based on Bid'ah. Let's not forget what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Today I have completed your religion, and I have perfected my favor on you, and I accepted Islam to be your religion. What a beautiful verse. You know what the Jews said? The Jews said, if that verse, they said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, if this verse was revealed to Moses, to us, we would have taken the day of this descendant of that verse as a feast, as a day of feast. It's a beautiful verse. It shows the completeness of Allah's favor on His servants, that He completed the plan. Now it's perfect. Now follow. It's complete. Perfect. Once we believe that it is complete, that means we don't need any additional ceremonies, rituals, types of worship. No. No need. Finished. Since it's completed.
What verse is that?
It's the third verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Yes. Al-Ma'idah, the table. It's much better to remember the chapters in its Arabic language. It's much better. That will be useful and easier for you to check, because not every translation of the Quran uses the English translation of the name of the verse. All right. Now we know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I did not leave anything that approaches you to paradise, but I have commanded you to do it. And nothing will approach you from hell, but I have warned you from. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the message completely, perfectly. Whoever claimed that we need Sufism, it is as if he is claiming that Allah did not complete the religion, did not perfect the favor on us. Simply. There is no doubt, inshallah, hopefully, that Sufists love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we hope that. But every Muslim should know that mere love is not a proof. To say I love, it is not a proof. To obey whom you love is a proof of your truthful love. If you tell me I love the Prophet, that means you have to obey him. The Christians love Jesus, but he does not love them, because they have innovated in religion shirk and bid'ah. The Shi'as claim that they love Hussein, but that Hussein does not love them. He hates them because they almost made him God. So if we love the Prophet, we must follow, obey the Prophet. Allah, and that is a proof, and that is a proof that Allah will love us. Look what Allah says. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. If you really love Allah, then follow me. Then for sure, then Allah will love you. That means your love to Allah is not really that important. It is not considerable. What is considerable is the love of Allah unto you. If Allah loves you, that is a proof that your love to Allah is truthful. Got it? If Allah loves you, that is an evidence in itself that you love Allah. Therefore, some scholars say, if you want to investigate, to scale, to evaluate, to know what is your perspective, what is your value in the sight of Allah, watch your heart. What is the value of Allah in your heart? Got it?
What is the value of Allah in your heart?
Yes. how greatness your heart feels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't feel that greatness of Allah in your heart, that means you're not great in His sight. We all, Muslims, should agree. Sufis, Shia, etc., etc. We all must agree on one thing. That the way of the worship, or the prophetic worship, is the best kind of worships being given to Allah at all. No one should argue about that. The way that the Prophet, the way of the worship that the Prophet gave to Allah is the best one. No? Is it wrong? But the Prophet ﷺ did not make these kinds of hizb, that means these kinds of supplications that the Sufis do. He did not make these kinds of innovations that we see. Have you seen the Sufis, how they make their ways of worship? Have you seen them going like this? No? Have you seen them? Why do people say, ha, 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 ha? You know what? This is, they are mocking Allah while they don't know it. And some of them say like this, Allah, Allah. You know, I have said to one of them, what's your name? He said, my name is Saeed. I said, suppose I meet you on the street and I go like that, Saeed, Saeed, would you like it? You won't like it. You will feel that I'm mocking you. So what about God? You're calling God in this way. Just like the Mushrik people who used, when circuiting the Kaaba, they used to clap and whistle to Allah. Allahu Akbar. They whistle, that's what Allah said in Surah Al-A'raf. وَمَا كَانَ دُعَاؤُهُمْ وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عَنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْلِيَةً. Their kind of prayer around the Kaaba was nothing but whistling and clapping to Allah. And these Sufis are clapping to Allah. Allah. If I told someone on the street just like that, would he like it? SubhanAllah. So, it should be sufficient for us to worship Allah on the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us and taught us, without any innovation, without any addition. Because, brothers, and be attentive to that, alaykum as-salam, we are going to die before doing all the worships that the Prophet used to give. We won't be able to complete what the Prophet ﷺ did at all. And we should not, we never believe that someone completed all the worship to Allah as the Prophet did and now he's waiting for something additional. You know? I finished all. The Prophet used to pray Taraweeh, you know, fast the day, pray all the night, for example, etc., etc. I've done all of that completely. And now I'm waiting for something new. No. You will die before completing the worship that you should be given to Allah. So, follow the Sunnah. And avoid bid'ah. This is the way of the Prophet. Worship Allah alone. And worship Him through His law. Not through what people desire. We ask every fair person. Do we say fair person, brothers? A just one.
They're all saying every just person.
Just person.
Fair.
Oh, just, I love the word just. You're right. May Allah bless you. All right. Now, we ask every just person who seeks the truth and avoid following his desire. We ask that question. Why tasawwuf? Why Sufism? To soften the hearts? To soften the hearts? To purify the hearts? Is that the reason of Sufism? Well, wasn't that at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Isn't that consisted in his religion, in the religion of Allah? No? Or we think that in Sufism something which is not in Islam? Huh? We have to ask. What would be the answer of every sincere Muslim? Tell me. Whether Sufi or whatever. He must say, no. The approaches, the things that we can soften the heart and purify it by, is consistent in the religion of Islam. So, we ask another question. So, why Sufism then? What is the reason? What is the value of Sufism then? If you can soften the heart through the teachings of Allah, the book of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we simply ask them, why Sufism? Which one came before? Sufism or Islam? Islam before. So why Sufism then? Only to make new sects? Only to scatter? Is that the only reason? Isn't enough for us to have more sects and cults? SubhanAllah. I don't think any Muslim will say the opposite. So why do we have to long for Sufism? While we know that it is a bunch of previous, ancient, old, philosophic, Hindu, Buddhist ideas. And Christian ideas as well. Why do we have to stick to it? Unless we say Islam is not enough. Unless we say Allah did not perfect the religion. Unless we say Allah did not complete the religion. Then we have to look for Sufism. So we ask ourselves sincerely, is there in Islam what suffices us from Sufism? Yes. Didn't we have the knowledge from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Then why we differ after the knowledge has come to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. They differed not. He's talking about the people of Israel. And when Allah gives us or narrates for us the stories of the people of Israel, is it only to amuse us or to take the lesson? Why do we always say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Why do we always repeat that while comprehended not? We don't comprehend it. That means we should always remember, be careful, not to follow the way of those who lost the way. Not to follow the way of those whom Allah's wrath was put upon them. But maybe we read the Quran, majority of Muslims today, they may read the Quran while they don't heed it. If you ask the Sufi, which tariqa you follow? You see, there's one big problem that's happened in Islam. There is now, in the matter of doctrine, aqidah, we have some books translated into Arabic language, And though some people, some scholars, they were fascinated in these philosophic ideas that were written by also Aflatun, etc., etc. So they allowed themselves to mix it in the basis of religion. They wrote books about the basis of aqidah, and they mixed this philosophic ideas with it. We call it in Arabic ilm al-kalam. I don't recall the meaning of that in English right now. You got it?
Philosophizing.
Etc. Philosophizing. Now, you see the argumental way of this philosophy, it does not purify the heart. It does not soften the heart. On the contrary, it harshens the heart. Therefore, these people, when they felt that their heart became cruel, they looked for something else to soften the heart. Ah, Sufism, oh beautiful. We can soften the heart with that. But they did not soften their heart. They followed innovation and shirk. By both ways, they did not make their hearts better. SubhanAllah. Simply, Allah Ta'ala said, خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصل عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم. الله أكبر. Take from them zakat, charity, then purify their hearts. Try it. If you committed a sin, we were taught by the Prophet ﷺ that if you do something wrong, immediately do something good. So you make it up. So if you do something wrong, for example, whether you do or not, I mean, go and give charity. And ask Allah to forgive you the sin that you have committed for the charity that you have done. At the same moment that you give the charity, you feel something is taking, some change is taking place in your heart. Some sweetie taste, you feel it in the heart. As soon as you give charity, you don't believe me? Go and try it. By that you can soften the heart. Not by Allah. You know, as you're dancing for the sake of God, you stupid. Dancing for the sake of God, playing disco for the sake of God. What is this? Allahu Akbar. Brother, I have seen maybe what you have not seen. I've seen these people. I was living among them. I've lived among them. And I've seen people. There was a boxer, you know, when he goes like this, you know, he loses control. So he starts to box, to punch every single one, you know, around them when they do these kinds of ceremonies.
I went to a concert in Albert Hall before it became Muslim, and it was for a guy called Mustafa Ali Fatih Khan, something like that anyway. And he was a Sufi, and he used to play music. The hall was packed out, loads of people in their dancing way, you know, in their seats. It was wonderful. Once he finished, everyone's up there, start smashing, they're fighting each other, they've got hold of the stands, you're outside, there's the Muslims are fighting outside, there's dawa tables outside, yeah. And then they're fighting and chasing someone down the street with his shirt ripped off. And
you see, when they do these Sufi ceremonies, when they practice these Sufi ceremonies, they go like this, oh, and some of them, you know, some of them are screaming. I've seen that in the church, believe me. Oh, Jesus, you know, they go like this.
Take me, Jesus.
No commentaries, please. So they go like this and they cry and they. We brought one of these people, and we said, please, can I ask you to read the Quran? He said, yes. So he said, can I ask you to read two pages only from the Quran? He was reading. Everything was normal. Nothing happened to him. Why these people when they make these, you know, these movements, you know, they show you as if something is going on in their heart, that they always you're getting closer to Al-Firdaus. And when they read Quran, when they pray Salat al-Zuhr or Salat al-Asr, nothing happens to them. Why? Is that Sufi ceremony more important than the prayer? More important than reading the Quran? So if you ask him, what is your way? He said, my tariqat is Naqshbandi. My tariqat is Qadri. My tariqat is Rifai. My tariqat is Shadri. What about the tariqah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? No? Is there anyone among these Sufis, you know, at least, we don't call ourselves Muhammadis, but at least, do they call themselves the Muhammadis, tariqah Muhammad, no? Does anyone of them say, my tariqah is Sunni? No? الله سبحانه وتعالى says وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه. This is in Surah Al-An'am, but I lost the number. I don't have the number. وأن هذا, and this is my way, straight, so follow it, and don't follow other subul. This is plural, this is in plural, subul. And the singular of this subul is sabil. And what is the meaning of sabil? Tariq. And what is the tariq? Same as the tariqa. So Allah is saying in the Quran, don't follow these tariqas. Follow my tariq, my way. Follow the way of Allah. That is the way, straight, that Allah wants us to follow. Not these various tariqas. You know, if I read, if I have done this book in Arabic, Al-Rifa'iyya Tariqa. These people claim that they have karamat. You know karamat? Have you heard of karamat? They have karamat. So I said to them, this is also karamat. Take it. Chinese people, Buddhists, are making karamat. Miracles. They call it miracles. They are putting some sticks. Enter it from here, and it gets out of here. Look. Buddhists? So either the Buddhists have karma like you, or you are both devils. And that's the truth. You are both devils. Later on. If you have any question, any commentary, I don't disallow it. But please write it down and I'll give you the chance, inshallah. By that, I hope we can control more our, because we have a factor of time. We have to finish our lecture before the time finishes. Anyway, they are making many kinds of dhikr, you know, some supplications, but false supplications. Like here, I translated that that person said, "Oh Allah, I ask you by the this is a letter, the, you know, the al-zulma." That means, "Oh Allah, I ask you by the darkness." What? You are asking Allah by the darkness to give you what you need? That's in the book Qiladat al-Jawahir. It's a very known Rifa'i Sufi's book, page 257, and the book Al-Ma'arif al-Muhammadiyya, page 102. I'm quoting, I'm giving the references, lest somebody might say, you know, etc., etc. I've seen these books, and I saw it myself. So nothing retreated made people be backwarded from religion, except these two problems, these two factors, bid'ah and shirk. Look, when we were backwarded in religion, we became backwarded in life also. Because Allah gave us the knowledge, the basis of knowledge. We were backwarded. Yes, we were great in knowledge in a certain time. But the majority of Muslims were backwarding. They were not using that knowledge. They were not sufficiently open-minded. So Allah gave it to someone else. Allah gave it to someone else. They built the life through this knowledge that they took from the Muslims. If we don't get back, return to Allah, we will never be in the front. We were in the front. Just couples of years after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we led the earth. Believe me. If you don't believe me, read the books of history. And take the confession of what I'm saying from Christians, not from Muslims. Many Christians, they could not hide this fact. Only a few years after the Prophet's death. And when we were backwarded in religion, naturally, we will be backwarded in life also. You imitate the Christians and the Jews, Allah will let them supersede you. What is the sources, what is the source of this word, Sufism? You know, we use the strict Christians. We say to a Christian, "What? Why Christian?" It's good to say that. You know, he feels that, you know, he was wrong. He is cornered now. Some trick is played against him. "What? Why Christian?" He says, "No, he was a Jew." "Then why you are a Christian if your God is a Jew?" "What Jew that Jew?" "What Jew that Jew?" He understands it. That the name of Judaism is taken from the name of that person, Judah. He can't answer it. No way. What about the grandpa called Judah? Abraham. Was he a Christian or a Jew? He was neither nor. These two names of religions were taken after him. Were established after Abraham. So what was the religion that the father of the prophets used to call people for, to follow? No? Atheism? Islam. So the same thing we're going to use with the Sufis today. Muhammad was not Sufis. Why you are Sufis? Did Muhammad call for Sufis? No. Why do you call for Sufis? Muhammad called for Islam isn't enough. Isn't it enough, Islam, to be called Muslim? Allah called you Muslim, and you should be proud of that. Call yourself Sufi? Isn't it enough to be calling yourself Muslim? SubhanAllah. The word Sufis was taken from, derived from the Greek word, Sophes, Sophes. Look. Sophis, this is the Greek word. How to write it in Arabic? Exactly. You see, this letter, it has only one similar in Arabic, and that is seen. S, seen. But can you use the S, put the Arabic letter Saad? Yes or no? No. But basically you're not allowed, because S means seen, not saw. Because the English letter, the English language, does not have this letter saw. Now, how to write it in Arabic? Sufi? It should be written like this. Sufi. Sufi, Sufi. Right? Abu Rayhan al-Bayruni. Al-Bayruni, he was a traveler person, and he was a great scholar, not religiously scholar, historian, etc. He went to India, and that was almost in the year 300, 200, he went to India. He said, I have seen the Sufis in India. And these Sufis people, they claim that they have a certain communication with God, a very special communication with God, and that lets them be mixed with God. So they don't feel anymore anything about what's going on around them, because they become in God and God becomes in them. He said, those are the Sufis. What happened is that those who became Muslims, you know, when Islam was spread, there are people who accepted Islam with their own culture and tradition. So they wanted to reconciliate between their tradition and the religion that they have obtained. And some other people, they didn't accept that Muslims opened their land. And we're not looking for colonialism. We were, the Muslims were longing to let people worship Allah, not to let people worship people. We have taken the people out from worshiping human beings and to worship Allah alone. That's why Muslims went out of the peninsula to call people for Islam. Now, there are people who didn't like it, but they cannot resist it, fight it. So they decided to destruct Islam from inside. So since they have these backgrounds, Sufis backgrounds, and Islam was spread in their community, they found it difficult to accept this. So this is Sufi, Sufi, there is no other. Well, it's good to change this letter scene and to make it Saad. Sufi. Where did you get that word from? You know, we are Sufi people, we are working with Suf. You know the Suf? How to call Suf in English?
Walk.
So when we talk about the Sufi people in English, we say the Wallen people.
The
woolen people. The woolen people, sorry. Not woolen people. Alright, the woolen people. But there are other people also, they might come to us and say, what? We are a new tariqah. We are the cottony people. Why? Yes, because our tariqah is taken from cotton, you know? And there are broadcloth people also. You know the broadcloth? The broadcloth, Juh. We are Juhi people. Why? Because, you know, our tariqah is to be derived from from the name of Jew. Jew. You know, very, what do you call it?
Huh?
Yeah. Broadcloth, fabric, etc. They are taking religious tariqah from the name of what?
Fabric.
SubhanAllah. From who? Who? It was yesterday on the sheep, and today it is on you, and you're proud of it? SubhanAllah. Al-Qushayri, the one who established the law of Sufism, in his very famous Sufist book called Al-Risala Al-Qushayriya. Al-Risala Al-Qushayriya. Page number 6. He said, the word Sufi is not derived from, it has no Arabic basis at all. Al-Risala Al-Qushayriya, page number 6, it was not derived from any Arabic word. No matter what they say. You know, some of them, they say, Sufism is to be taken from Ahlul Sufa. You know Ahlul Sufa? Have you heard of Ahlul Sufa? The people who used to be, you know, who used to stay in the mosque always, they speak in the mosque. But these people, they have no significant thing that made them speak in the mosque. Abu Bakr and Umar is more important than the other companions. He's more special than the others. And yet he did not stay in that mosque. He was not one of those people of Sufa. So what? And he should be called Sufism, not Sufism, because you're talking about the people of Sufa, not Sufa. Etc, etc, you know. But eventually they said, well, it's good to be called Sufi. It was derived from the wool. But as I said to you, the wool yesterday was on a sheep, and today you wear it, and you tell me you're proud of it. Be my guest. So this is a confession from one of the greatest people of Sufism. Believe me, when you say Al-Qushayri, he's well known among those who know about the Sufis. And they, you know, the reason they took the word Sufi and they said it is derived from Suf, from wool, because they saw the Christian priests who used to isolate themselves in the cave, in the mountains, in the valleys, they used to see them, you know, wearing the thick wool. Why? Because the Christians say, you have to suffer your body to purify the soul. If you don't suffer the body, the soul will not be purified. The Sufis confessed that they took the experience of Sufism from the Christians. And that's what Abu Hamid al-Ghazali in his book Ihya' al-Din confesses. And there are many things that will be translated, inshallah, into English language about Ihya' al-Din. I have a big book, something about 450 pages about Abu Hamid imprecise. It took me 1 year to study the books of this man. And I had a book since something like 10 years ago. And now I have summarized it, and it will be, inshallah, printed in English. Abu Hamid al-Ghazali mentioned that Ibrahim ibn Adham is well known among Sufism. He said, I have took the knowledge, the wisdom, from a priest who is called Sim'an. And I used to ask him, oh Sim'an, what is your food? He said, only one piece of beans during every 40 days. One piece of beans. You know the beans? One piece only, every 40 days. Yeah. Well, it is hummus. Well, I'm not expert in, huh?
Chickpea.
One chickpea.
One.
Only one, brother. Allah will bless his stomach. It is miracle. All right. It's very shameful. It's sufficient shameful. It is sufficient change that Abu Hamid al-Ghazali narrates that in his book Ihya Alam al-Din. It is a proof that this first Sufi person, whose name is Ibrahim ibn Adham, he confesses that he took the knowledge, the Sufi knowledge, from a priest. Abu Hamid al-Ghazali is a strange person. He said, "What would Tariq take on your way? فَإِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. You are already on the holy valley. واستمع بصر قلبك لما يوحى. And hear by your heart what you are inspired already. فلعلك تجد على النار هدى. You may find after the fire guidance from God." He's quoting a verse from the Quran, a verse that talks about what happened to Moses when he went to the holy valley and he saw the fire, and after he saw the holy fire, he went and then he was guided. وَلَعَلَّكَ مِنْ سُرَادَقَاتِ الْعَرْشِ. And you may be called from the throne of Allah. You will be given a call from the throne of Allah. إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ. وَلَعَلَّكَ مِنْ سُرَادَقَاتِ الْعَرْشِ تُنَادَى. You will be called بِمَا نُودِيَ بِهِ مُوسَى. You will be given the same of what Moses was given, inspiration. إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ. I am your God. I don't have the quotation, the reference now. I have a problem. I have it in a diskette. I did not bring the book. I have it in a computer diskette. Inshallah, tomorrow, if I'll get the Windows software, Arabic software window, I'll give you all the references. Yes. I have something worse than that, brother. I have something worse. I have something like what he mentioned in his book, the fourth volume. This I remember the reference. The fourth volume, page number 356.
Fourth what?
Fourth volume. Page 356. Under the chapter of the narrations of the lovers, the Sufis, and their situation. You know, if you lost, maybe some edition publication is different in some pages. He said that Abu Turab al-Nakhshari. Have you heard of Abu Turab al-Nakhshari? Abu Turab al-Nakhshari is a person who used to go out on the wilderness, to the wilderness, without any support, without any water, without any food, without any weapon, just like that, on tawakkul, pure tawakkul. Tawakkul means dependence on Allah. But it is false tawakkul to go this way. So this person went to the wilderness, and he was eaten by those mutawakkil animals. Those animals were real mutawakkil. Those animals were really depending on Allah. So they got him. They ate him. This is his punishment. This person, in this phase of Ihya al-Mateen, he says to his disciples, "I wish you had seen Abu Yazid al-Bustani." His student said, "What do I have to do with Abu Yazid al-Bustani? I've seen God. I don't need to see Abu Yazid al-Bustani." Look, what I'm saying is what's in the book of Ihya al-Mateen. I'm not saying anything more. So what do I have to do with it? Abu Yazid al-Bustani. I've seen God. I don't need to see Abu Yazid al-Bustani. He said, "What? You are deceived with your God. If you ever see Abu Yazid al-Bustani one time, it is more beneficial to you than seeing Allah 70 times." This is in the book of Ihya al-Mateen. So, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali divides the tawakkul on three categories. The first category is that you go to the wilderness, just like Abu Turab went, without anything, just like that, and depend on, without anything, just like that, and depend on Allah. And if you, and we know that you may die because of hunger, but you have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to provide you the death of hunger. And you have to accept what Allah predestinated. What kind of language is that? The second one is the one who does not go to the wilderness, but he stays at home. He does not work. He is less than the one who went to the wilderness without any support. But yes, he is less, but he's still mutawakkil. Why? Because he does not work. He's to work. This one is not really mutawakkil. He's not mutawakkil. And that third tawakkul is the tawakkul of Abi Bakr al-Siddiq. Because once he was given the, you know, he became the successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went downtown to sell some stuff to have support. You know, this is the story of Abu Bakr. You know, he said, once he became the successor, he said, follow me as far as I follow Allah among you. If I disobey Allah, I have no obedience caught on you. You're not obliged to obey me as far as I disobey Allah among you. It's a great, great word. Word of guidance. SubhanAllah. So as soon as he became the successor, he took some stuff and went downtown to sell. Mr. President, he's downtown to sell things, to get food. So Umar and Abu Ubaidah saw him. What are you doing here? He said, well, I'm selling things because I want, you know. No. We'll give you some money. Sell it. To stay and dedicate yourself for khilafah, for succession. What kind of person are those? SubhanAllah. And yet Abu Hamid al-Ghazali called him the third, put him in the third category of tawakkul. Sufism claims that, as what Abu Hamid al-Ghazali also claimed, he says that you see the people are moving, talking, speaking, dancing, but you don't know that there are someone who is making them to move and speak and talk. Just like, you know, have you seen, you know, the old, you know, there was an old toy for the children.
Puppet.
Huh? Puppet?
Yeah,
puppet. You know, someone stands behind, he uses some
string,
and he moves these dolls. And he speaks. And you know, these small boys think that the dolls are speaking to them. Abu Hamid, he used the same example. He said, such as you see this puppet using these things, and these boys, and the boys, and the human beings today are just like the boys. They see these dummies. They think that these human beings are talking by their own self, moving by their own self. But they don't know that there are things expanded or descended from the heavens, moved by the angels, and the angels themselves are moved by Allah. And you are fool. You think that you are moving by yourself, talking by yourself. It's Allah is doing the job. Not you. This is what Abu Hamid al-Ghazali said in his book Ihya al-Muddin. Therefore, they claim that the only one who works, the only doer, actor on this universe is Allah. And there is no other one who moves and speaks or doer. There is no other doer on earth. The only doer is Allah. The only existent one in the universe is Allah. Is Allah alone. There is no existence for any other one but the existence of Allah. That's what he says. The Sufis teach the people to be extremely follower, imitator, blind imitator. And they say that you have to follow your master, your sheikh. You know, they say sheikh and murid. Murid is the student. Sheikh is the master. And you must follow him blindly. And they give examples. As the dead body can do nothing with the one who, you know, bathed the dead body, you must be in the same situation of the dead body between the hands of the one who washes this dead body. That means you should be as a dead person. Your sheikh, your master, should do anything in you. But you know something, brother? The murid, you know the murid, what's the name of murid today? Murid. Students. Do you think that students are only males? Huh? There are murid females. And they have to stick to the resolutions also.
whatever you shaykh do to you.
Fine.
Do you think that students are only males?
There are murids females. And they have to stick to the resolutions also.
Whatever your shaykh do to you.
Don't resist.
If your shaykh sleeps with you and you are a female,
he's testing your faith.
Don't ever object. Never to object. If your shaykh, he's testing you. He knows better. He may do things that it may be viewed or looked to you that it is false.
Well, it is not false.
He's a great wise person. If you object, you may lose the faith that the shaykh put in your heart.
I'm talking of experience, because I've read all of their books. Not all of them, astaghfirullah.
Many. I'm expert in Sufism. As being expert in Christianity, alhamdulillah, this is the grace of Allah. I have nothing to do with that. I'm the instrument of Allah. I'm the soldier of Allah. If you see these Sufi tariqas, you will find out that this Sufi tariqas are an entrance to Shiaism. It's an entrance to Shiaism. The Sufis have mixture of doctrines, philosophies. They divide the religion into zahir, external, and batin, internal. Okay? Zahir, you may see, they follow the sunnah, the Quran, but they have something else, batin. They have special treatment dealing by their heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once they purify the heart, they can see the tablet. You know the tablet? Allah al-Mahfuz. Tablet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala written on that tablet everything that's going to be. Everything. So they have a scanner. Their heart become scanner. You know the scanner machine? Zero. Their heart becomes zero. Everything in the tablet will be reflected in their heart. They can see everything. They can know what's going to happen in the future, everything about the unseen, everything. Why do I say that Sufism is the entrance of Shiaism? There are many common terms between the Shia and the Sufi. Number one, exaggeration. Both are exaggerating. Lie. Both are lying. The Sufi are lying. Fabricating karamat and some fiction fables about their shaykh. This one moved, a mountain, and that one moved an island. And there are called kutub people on the earth, and they are holding the earth. One is in the east, one in the west, one in the north, and one is in the south. And if those people die, or one of them dies, the earth will go into destruction. The earth will be destructive because they are holding the earth lest it may fall. Allahu Akbar. Destruction. The Rifa'i Tariqah. Have you heard of the Rifa'i Tariqah? We know that the Shia believe in the 12 Imams. The Rifa'i say that these 12, now, the Rifa'i people claim that we believe in the 12 Imams. Do you know who is the 12th one? Al-Mahdi. What's his name? Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Askari. But the Prophet mentioned the name of the Mahdi. We believe in the Mahdi, brother. But what is his name? I thought it was the Prophet of Allah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But what is the Mahdi? Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Askari. Where is he? Now, in the petrol.
In the fuel.
He's mixed with the fuel.
Alright? And maybe almost 150 years or 200 years after the Prophet's death, he was 6 years old. He went into the kitab and he
He's not known. Until now they're looking for him. 1,300 years for him.
The Baha'is believe that they need to come back. That's just how they
fit
it all in.
Now, the retired people believe that these 12 are not anymore 12. They became 13. Why? And the retired is the Imam number 13. And they say that in their book, Al-Qawa'ad al-Mar'iyya, page 7, Irshad al-Muslimin, page 97. Jama' Karamat al-Awliya. Jama' that means the collector of all the Karamat of Awliya. This is a very book of fiction. I'm sorry to say what I don't want to say, but I have to say it. Among these people that this book collected all of their Karamat, one of all the things. Okay. The Sufi, let's hello, Jazim. The Sufis divide religion into Sharia and Haqiqa. Sharia means legislation, the law of Allah. But they have another source, and that source is Haqiqa. Haqiqa, this is another source of inspiration of religion. They take it directly from God. But the Sharia is also from God. It's contradiction. They say Haqiqa is from Allah. We take revelation straight, directly from Allah. And that is false. That is blasphemy. Because if anyone can have, that is my answer to the Christians. The Christians say the book is not important. We have special treatment with God. God is speaking into our hearts. They are liars. If God can speak to every heart, why Allah is making a mission to the prophets to come and to convey the message? Then he should have not sent prophets, because anyone can speak with God in his heart. That's all. There's no need for revelation. There is no need for the books of God. There is no need for the prophets. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. The Sufiya are the Sufi people. They say, you people, you say, حدثني محمد عن, حدثني نافع, حدثني مالك, حدثني ابن عمر. حدثت means narrated by, at least, to the Prophet Muhammad. You know, I'm talking about the chain of narration. The chain of narration. But we Sufi, we say, حدثني قلبي عن ربي. Narrated by my heart, narrated by Allah. You're saying that this narration of hadith, this hadith, is narrated by who, for example? By Maymun. Maymun is narrated by who? Narrated, Maymun took it from that person. And that one took it from this person. But what we say is different. We say, حدثني قلبي عن ربي. My heart narrate what my heart heard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sufis are the great reason, the cause of the shirk that is spread in the world today among Muslims. The Sufis believe in the book of Al-Jafr. Al-Jafr is a Shia book. It's just like the Talmud of the Jews. The Sufis believe in that book, Al-Jafr, according to the book, Bawarik al-Haqa'iq. It's a Risa'i Tariqat book. Page number 78 and 177. The Sufis believe that Allah created the Prophet Muhammad by the light of his face, of Allah's face. According to the book of Halat Ahl al-Haqiqa, for the Risa'i Tariqa people, page number 24. And they claim that the awliya also are created of light. This is the same doctrine of Al-Khumayni in his book, Al-Hukuma al-Islamiyya, Islamic government, Islamic rule, state. He claimed that the a'imma, the leaders, a'imma, or the 12 a'imma, 12 imams, they are created of light. And he says that the imam, the 12 imams of Ahlul Bayt, they obtained such stage which neither the prophets nor the angels have ever obtained. In his book, The Islamic State, page 52. What kind of doctrine is that? The Sufiya horrify the graves, the shrines. They love it. And they speak to the dead people. And the Shia are doing the same thing. Therefore we are not exaggerating when we say that the Sufism is the entrance of Shiaism. They have many common terms. And once you accept Sufism, there is no difficulty, any difficulty for you to accept Shiaism. Because Sufism is the entrance. It's the approach, it's the way to Shiaism. The Sufi people are the reason, the cause of spreading these shrines in the mosques of the world. And there was a big conspiracy by the Fatimi people, the Shiite people, who made many graves and shrines in the mosques of the Sunni Muslims in Egypt, in Pakistan, in many places. They say, these Sufis, they say, Madad ya Rasulullah. O Rasulullah, support us, give us help. They call the people, the human beings. And they ignore the one who will never die. They ignore the creator of the human beings. They don't ask Allah, they ask creatures. They are mushrik people. Why we denounce the doctrine of the Christians? We say to the Christians, don't say, oh Jesus, that's wrong. But we allow ourselves to say, oh Isai, oh Ilahi, oh Abdul Qadir, oh Badawi, oh the Sufi. We allow ourselves to call others than Allah, and we don't allow the Christians to call other than Allah. Well, you both are forbidden to call any other one beside Allah. Call upon Allah. That's what the Prophet said. If you love the Prophet, you have to stick to what the Prophet said. He said, if you ever seek help, if you ever ask, ask Allah alone. If you ever seek help, seek it from Allah alone. That's what the Prophet said. If you love him, you will fulfill, you will practice what he said. If not, you don't love him, you're a liar. Allah Ta'ala said, تَدْعُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ. Ask Allah sincerely, even if the disbelievers dislike it. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to visit the dead people. The dead people in their graves, to make a visit to them. No problem. Why? Why, brother? You know that it was disallowed before. Why? We have to ask why it was disallowed. Because paganism, polytheism, was affected by the grave of the salihin, of the awliya, of the righteous people. It was taken, the source of this paganism, polytheism, are the graves. So once the companions were well aware about this, that you should not ask anyone besides Allah, the Prophet eventually allowed them to visit the graves. Why? It reminds what, brothers? Why did he say to go to, you must go to the graves? You should go to the graves. You are allowed to go to the graves. Why? It makes you to remember Al-Akhirah. Did he say to call the awliya for your needs? We have added one more reason. To call the saints. He called them awliya, the Christians call them saints. It's the same. Who told you they are awliya? They might be punished in the grave while you are asking them. Who told you they are awliya? We don't doubt them. We don't charge them that they are not awliya. But we say we hope. You cannot purify your own soul. You cannot claim that you are purified enough. You cannot claim that you are wali. Allah says, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't ever claim that you are purified. Don't ever claim purification. If you're not allowed to call yourself zaki, or pure, or saint, why do you call others? You don't know what's in their hearts. You don't know what were they sealed with. good deed or a bad deed. You don't know. There was one donkey who was buried in Egypt. And you see, he was the procedure for his owners, you know, to use it for wood. And once the donkey died, they had no more profession, no more work. They buried it. And they called people to come to visit that grave of Wali. And they said, the name of that Wali is the one with tall ears. People are making money by that, brother. You know that? People are making money by these shrines. You see, they go to the grave and they speak, you know, they speak to the grave. Oh, Mawlana, you know, Rifai or Qadri, etc. We have a special need, you know. Give us our need, please. Okay? They bribe them. They bribe the wali, the saint. Put money. Don't forget, we gave you money, huh? Give us what we need. SubhanAllah. Wallahi, it's mockery. We hate it. It's funny. But at the same time, we hate that. What's happening? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to visit the dead people in their graves. Why? In order to ask Allah for them. Ask Allah for them. May Allah forgive them. May Allah save them from the punishment of grave. May Allah bless them, etc., etc. So we go to the graves to ask Allah for them. But the Sufis taught us to visit the graves, to ask them, not Allah. The opposite. The Prophet used to visit the grave and say, oh Allah, forgive them. Now we come to them asking them, appealing to them, to ask Allah for our forgiveness. We're making it the opposite. And yet we say, we are guided, we are Muslims, Allah should not punish us. Allah should not, you know, use these tackle against us. Because we are Muslims. What kind of Muslims you are? You should be truly Muslims. Wahid. Monotheist. Not polytheist. I don't see any difference between the idol and the grave. I see no difference, brothers. The idol is made of stone, and the grave is made of stone. The idol does not respond, nor the grave responds. The idol does not have any benefit to give, nor to take away any harm, and the grave is the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. Don't ever ask beside Allah what gives you no benefit, nor takes away any harm. But if you do, فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, that means you are one of those mushrik people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ. Those whom you call beside Allah, they don't owe even, you know, the qitmir is, you know, the date. What do you call the stone which is inside the date? The dead stone, the stone. You see, there's a certain material surrounding the seal, which is very thin material, you know? This is called qitmir. Even this nonsense material which surrounds the seal, these people in the grave, they don't have it. They don't owe it. They cannot give it to you. Look, if they can do something for us, let them do something for their own self and get out of the grave. Correct? Right? If they can do any better for you, let them do the better for themselves and get out of the grave. You know that the Sufi people, there's one stupid person who's called Al-Habashi. He says that if you call these dead awliya, they get out of the grave, and they give you what you want, and then they return back to the grave. Why do they return back to the grave? Why don't they go back to their houses and sleep with their own wives and enjoy their own children? Why do they go back to the grave? What a stupid person. This is another Christianity. This is another Buddhism. This is another Hinduism. This is not the teaching of Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus you can see how distant are majority of the Muslims today from the pure teachings of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you call them, they will not hear you. But if they were to hear you, they will not respond you. And at the day of judgment, they will deny your polytheism. And no one to give you these facts except the most, the oft knowing one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says clearly in Surah Fatir, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ, and you cannot let those people in the grave to hear. They cannot hear. Allah is saying in the Quran, they cannot hear. So these stupid people say, no, they hear, and they get out of the grave, they give you what you need, and they return to the grave back. And by that, my brothers, the Sufis succeeded in keeping the heart attached to the grave. And they make these hearts busy from looking at the heaven and the sky, turning the faces, raising the hands to Allah. They attach them to the graves, not to the heaven. The Prophet used to raise up his finger, oh Allah, he used to take, to ask Allah, oh Allah. These people, no, they have nothing to do with the heaven. They speak with the graves. They seek their needs from the graves. Brothers, mosque and grave, it should never get together. Next. In the matter of worship, mosque and grave should not be reconciled. You understand it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ, the mosque, places of worship belong to Allah. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, and don't call with Allah anyone else. Is there any clearer statement than this? And yet the people still argue and defend. Oh, what about this? What about that? What about... Why do we have to argue? Why don't we comply? Since the title of our religion means surrender, submission, compliance to Allah. There are many who claim that they are Muslims. They don't know that they lost the meaning, the essence of the word that they claim they belong to it. The Sufis mocked paradise and hell. And I hope, inshallah, you will be able to see the translation of my book about Abu Hamid Ghazali. He said that these boys are happy to be in paradise. These boys, they are stupid. They are only attentive for the lust of their stomach and the lust of their sex. If you want to be one like them, go ahead. But we are the Sufis, appealing, longing for something else. We don't want paradise. We don't care about paradise. We care about one thing, to sit down with God. That's all we want. SubhanAllah. What about Abraham? He said in the Quran, وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. That's in Surah Ibrahim. In Surah Al-Hajj. No, not in Surah Al-Hajj. In Surah Al-Shu'ara. وَجَعَلْنِي, O Allah, make me one of those who inherit paradise. A prophet is asking Allah to let him inherit paradise, to let him go to paradise. And Imam Muhammad Ghazali says, no, we don't care about paradise. We don't need it. And he narrates in the same fourth volume, and the same page, 356, about Abu Yazid al-Bustami, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him everything in the universe. He showed him paradise. He showed him, you know, the heavens, the galaxies, everything. He took him east, west, north, south. And he said, wish anything so I can give it to you. He said, I don't care about anything. I don't. Everything that you show me is nothing. I don't care about it. So Allah said, you are the one who wants me alone. You are the one who loves me really. And then it rained about Rabi'a al-Adawiyya, maybe you know that. And she said to God, I don't worship you fearing from your fire or longing for your paradise. I don't worship you for that. I worship you because you deserve to be worshipped. SubhanAllah. What about the prophets? Didn't they know that Allah deserves to be worshipped? And they asked him for paradise? And they asked Allah to avoid them hell? Are you better than the prophets? Astaghfirullah. This we call zandaqa. Zandaqa. Apostate. This is apostasy. Well, apostasy is ridda, but zandaqa, it means, you know, playing in religion, being rebellious. It does not, zandaqa, it does not mean totally being out of Islam. Anyway, the Sufis, they used to dance, as I said to you, as I mentioned to you before, just like the way of the Jews. The Jews said in their book, Psalms, chapter 149 and 150, let the people of Zion cheer and be happy. Let them praise Allah by a dance. By duf, you know the duf? What do you call it? Drum. Wa'ud. Guitar. Let them dance for him. And they say also in 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 14 that David used to dance by all of his power to Allah. Dance. Etc. etc. Make music for God. This is in Exodus chapter 15 verse 20. Make music. Praise Allah with music. You should not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to worship Him. We cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by dancing to Him or playing music for Him. SubhanAllah. The Sufis denounced knowledge. In the book of Risala Qushariya, a person was asked about, you know, the retreating of the Sufi. He says, being retreated from haqiqa, you know haqiqa now, to knowledge, to sharia. They believe that we should not confine us only with the kitab and the sunnah of the Prophet. No. We have another source, al-kashf. Al-kashf. That means we are inspired, revealed by Allah. Not only the book and the sunnah. What is the value of the book of sunnah and sunnah if you can be inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the value of the book and the sunnah? Therefore, they claim that they can see what's in the heart, what's in the future. If they can see, if they can see the unseen, why didn't they see the conspiracies of the enemies of Muslims? Why? If they can see the unseen, if they can see the tablet, you know, they have a laser sight, they can reach to the tablet and they can see what's in the tablet, why don't they investigate what are the conspiracies against the Muslim world? If they know everything, if they have the knowledge of the unseen, and yet they did not warn the Muslims about the conspiracies of their enemies, they are betrayers and cheaters. They claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them karama. So this way can climb the sky, and the other one can see what's in the tablet. And he goes to the seventh heaven, and he sees, you know, the tablet, and he sees, he can read the sins of his murid, student. So he erases it in the tablet. Look, what I'm saying is what I read. It's a fiction, fable. Islam rejects that. And they claim that, you know, one of the awliya, they call them awliya, he was sitting down and some students, you know, they were listening to him, and suddenly he went like that. They said, "Our master, what happened?" He said, "Some people in the east, in the sea, you know, their ship was drowning. And I went like that. You can see the water. You see? Now my clothes are wet. You know? You can see? I have saved them. When they had this problem, they called me. Oh, our ship! Wait, please help us." So I went like that. And you can see the water of the sea on my clothes. What kind of fiction is that? And another one, you know, mashallah, he was a great one. That is mentioned in Talaqat al-Shahrani. It says, he never sleep with a prostitute, but she quits prostitution immediately. She repents. Whenever he sleeps with a prostitute, she repents to Allah. So this wali gets up to the heaven, and that's when it's flying, just like tornado. Fighter, and that one gets out of the grave whenever he wants, and this one, you know, saves, you know, they say that one muri was in India, and his sheikh was in Damascus, in you know, in these places, in the Middle East, okay, and his student, his muri, was about to fall in fornication and adultery. So this sheikh, he knew it. He took his own shoe and he threw it. And it went to India. And it, you know, it reached to the, you know, it punched the head of his murid, and his murid said, "MashaAllah, my sheikh saved me from corruption." He got the money. You know? And one wali, you know, can move the mountains. Another wali can move the islands. And they bring to you the most amazing stories. Such stories that you've never heard. I've never heard such stories, even in Christianity or Judaism. Under the title of karama. If you say, what's that? Shh. Don't object. Don't denounce. You are denying karama. But if you say yes, they bring to you fiction, not karama. In Jama Karama, in Tabaqat al-Sha'rani, he says, one of these awliya is wonderful. Sometimes you look at him, he becomes an elephant. Suddenly, sometimes you look at him, he becomes an ant. Sometimes he becomes a lion. What kind of wali is that? You see? I've never seen that even in the cartoons. Wallahi, this book contains many, you know, stories that you never imagine.
You're translating this book?
No.
Oh,
no, this is my book.
Yeah.
One of the stories that are mentioned here, that he, one wali, Ahmad al-Rifai, he called, you know, the Pat, what do you call them?
Rida.
Come to us. And so he said, be already, what do you call it? Barbecued. Explain Islam in the Islamic way for sure. And barbecued, you know? And he ate them with his murids. And when he ate these ducks, seven ducks, okay? He took their bones. And their bones became ashes. He said, be as you were. So they started to fly again. The Sufiya twisted the meaning of the wali. And they deprived the majority of Muslims from being wali. They gave it special meaning, you know. Now when the ignorant Muslim hear about wali, you know what they imagine? They imagine an old man with a very big white beard, you know. You know, he's putting this rosary around his body. And you know, and people touch him, you know, when they touch him, from anywhere of his body, they get the blessing. You need less of nothing. What do you know of that? Brothers, there are two conditions for a person to be wali. What are they? In which person? أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. For those wali, brothers, awliya, that means those who belong to themselves, they give their loyalty to Allah, they are those who follow the way of Allah, those who devote themselves for Allah, there is no fear on them, nor they should grieve. What are the conditions? أَذَلِّنَا أَحْمَنَا. Those who believe, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they used to fear Allah in their life. In all of what they do, they fear Allah. These are the two conditions to be wali. If you fulfill these two conditions, be my guest to be wali. But they have special meaning. Now, awliya, those who have big beard, you know, and they speak blah 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 always, and people are touching. You know, if he touches his toe, this is the toe of wali, or maybe etc. You know, this is false. This is not Islam. The person used to enter the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who's among you, Muhammad? Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful thing. The Prophet Muhammad did not have any significant, special, different clothes, different appearance than the other companions. He used to wear normal clothes. One last time. Prophet of Allah. You see the Pope, well, he puts something on his head like this. You know, he's holding many things. You know, he's about to fall down. You know, 20, 50 kilograms of golden things, big cross, and he holds this, you know, top of the oil. You know, you see it going left and right. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was humble. The Prophet Jesus was humble. The Prophet Moses was humble. He never used to put any special clothes to make themselves different than people. About some of these wali used to pray not to pray. I've seen one person here in my country, he died. Whenever he finishes smoking, he takes the other. He never prayed secretly. You know? And he sit down like that. And he tells him that, your name is such and such and such, and you have a certain problem, and it will be solved tomorrow. Go away. This person is dealing with jinn. Every person among us has his own kareem, companion of jinn. We are tested by these creations. Okay? With each person, he has a jinn kind, devoting himself to be with him always, to tempt him, to let him follow the false, to misguide him, to mislead him. We are tested by that. We are resisting. We are fighting, we are making jihad with this companion. Now his companion may have communication with your companion. He gives him information. So you know, you come to speak with this person, or you pass by and say, Mr. Abdullah, today you had a fight with your wife, tomorrow you'll be okay with it. How do you know that? What shall this be? Allah. He deceives. That's the way that the jinn deceive people by. And those people are the soldiers of these jinn. They are dealing with them. They are enjoying one another. So, anyone can be wali. whether he is a plumber, or a garbage collector, or a carpenter, anyone can be wali. If you pray 5 times a day, and you fear Allah, and you avoid sins, as much as you can, does not mean wali that he is sinless, as the Sufis believe. They believe that he is a sinless person. The Prophet also twisted the meaning of the word wasila, shafa'a. They gave it another meaning which matches the concept.